Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Wife wakes up in the morning and says to her husband, "Man, I had a wonderful dream last night, dear. I dreamed that you gave me $300 to go buy some clothes. You wouldn't want to spoil that, would you, dear?" And he said, "Of course not. You can keep the $300. Let's try that again. I thought it was funny when I read it. Did you know I was telling a joke? Okay. She said, "I dreamt you gave me $300. You wouldn't want to spoil that." He said, "No, I wouldn't spoil that. You can keep the $300 in the dream." Yeah. Okay, you get it now? Let's take our Bibles and turn to Second Chronicles. That is probably the biggest egg I've ever laid in telling a joke. Maybe I can't trust my humor. Did I say it wrong? Did I give it wrong? Okay. You men are all just afraid of your wives. That's what it is. That elusive $300. I am ready to preach a message this morning that I have worked on during the week that I'm not going to preach out of the book of Genesis. Instead, I'm going to preach on what I believe is a big problem. God just laid it on my heart this morning. Not that it wasn't on my heart at different times during the week, but okay, so he's brought it to the forefront this morning, so I'm going to go where angels dare to tread, and that's preach a message without, I got some passages here, and I just trust that God is going to take over. We have a great need in the Church of Jesus Christ. We have a great need in America, but we have a great need in the church, and it's an elusive thing, and the name, the title, the word I'm going to give to you right now, say, "Oh yeah, I know that. Man, preacher, you preached on that kind of thing before, and we've gone through different seasons of it," and I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about a fresh breeze from heaven's shore. I'm talking about God breathing on his people and changing hearts that are cold and hearts that are selfish and hearts that don't even see the need of the world around. And America's in a bad way. 8 out of 10 people in America are not affiliated with any kind of church. That's America. It's supposed to be a Christian nation. 8 out of 10 people never darken the door of a church. If that statistic, if that formula carries through in Chippewa County, 38,000 plus people in this county, that means right around 28,000 people don't go to church. You know how many people in this present generation don't even know the story of Noah's Ark? You say, "Oh, that's not," it's true. That's the truth. We really do live in a godless society. Hence the church. Christ has strategically placed and ordained the New Testament church, of which he is the head, to be salt and light in the world. And we have purpose. We have a job we're supposed to be doing. And that, of course, is propagating the gospel, preaching the gospel, proclaiming the whole counsel of God. And unfortunately, that's not the case. We do need revival. You think of the world in which we live. The number one killer in the world last year was abortion. 49 million. Not disease, not war, not crime, abortion. You don't think that's a stench in the nostrils of God? Hey, you didn't laugh at my joke this morning. I'm ready to preach hard. Let's all turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and stand up. I'd like to read the scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 14 you're familiar with, and I'm going to read a little bit after you sit down prior to that, and I'm going to give some context to it, and trust that God will take over in this service. And by the way, if you're here and you're not sure your sins are forgiven, you're not sure your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've never been born anew or born again, I've got great news for you. Jesus died for you just like he died for everybody else. And he's provided for you eternal life. All you've got to do is receive him this morning. Just recognize your own sin. Repent of your sin and receive. Reach out to Jesus Christ and he'll save you this morning. Verse 14, you're familiar with it. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God, would you please take the word of God and pinpoint our problem this morning. I'm not going to preach that entire verse, just a part of it, just a piece of it, just to get it started this morning for a series of four messages. And God, we ask that you take over in the message this morning. There are some people here this morning that think they don't need to hear the word of God. Perhaps there are some here this morning that think they've heard it all. There are some here this morning thinking about what's going to go on this afternoon or what they got to do this week, and the world is dying and going to hell. And if they were in a hospital bed today like the man was I saw yesterday, they'd be concerned about one thing: their loved ones getting born again, their co-workers coming to Christ. Oh God, speak to your people this morning. God, do a work in our midst. None of us are righteous in ourselves. We need to hear from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me read some of the previous verses, do a little bit of summarizing here this morning in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. I'll tell you ahead of time where the rest of the month is going. I'm going to preach four messages on each of the four words, and I'm going to just preach on the first one this morning, found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse 14. God's formula for revival. Yeah, I know he's talking to Israel here, and I know he's talking specifically concerning the temple and God's people. And right here, the temple is being dedicated. That's what we're reading about. And God makes a promise to his Old Testament people, and that same promise is for the Church of Jesus Christ this morning. There will be tough times. There'll be times of pestilence and times of wars and times of great tragedy. And God makes a great promise. At those times in our lives, in the life of the church, the lifeblood of the church, at those times in our lives, God says, if you'll do these things, I'll meet your need. I'll be right there for you. I'll send an old-fashioned revival right from heaven. You long for that? Man, I long for that. I read about the old days and reading the scriptures, what our spiritual fathers, our fathers have seen and experienced, and our brethren, and man, it just excites my soul. And I read some of the things that have happened in the 19th century and the 20th century, and now we're here in the 21st century, right at the end of the church age, and we need revival. We truly do. Verse 1 says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The temple is being dedicated. The temple that Solomon built, and Shekinah glory, fire comes down from heaven, and Shekinah glory is there. Preaching on the tabernacle on Sunday night. And you've heard a little bit about Shekinah glory. By the way, tonight, it's the Ark of the Covenant. Tonight, the Ark of the Covenant and what it means to you and what it means to me. But God showed up there in the temple. God was saying, I'm pleased. Solomon, I'm pleased. My people, I am pleased with what you've done. Verse 2 says, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. That kind of goes along with what I'm going to preach this morning when I get to it. When God's in the room, there's no room for man to be on the platform. God doesn't share his glory with anybody. The scripture tells us in Ephesians in chapter 3 that there's to be glory in the church. There are no vacancies in the Trinity. None of us will ever be deity. None of us. We just need to get out of the way and let God do a work. And some of us are in the way by our lifestyles, by choices that we're making, by wrong things that we're doing. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, I'm in verse 3, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement. That speaks of humility. And they worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. God is being exalted. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. As a matter of fact, I'll not read these verses, but 22,000 oxen and 20,000 sheep. That's something to shout about. It's a great price that was paid. And the priests waited on, verse 6, the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood out of respect for God. Again, that's something worth shouting about. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Solomon had to make room for more sacrifices because blood was flowing. And it sounds grotesque. And I know it sounds brutal, but the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Sin is a terrible thing. It's an abomination before God, and I'm a sinner. That's why a Savior came to this world. His name is Jesus. That's why his blood was shed. In the auditorium Sunday school class, we're studying that in the book of Colossians right now, in Christology and all that Jesus did for us. The blood of Jesus Christ is the agency by which salvation comes. We're studying that right now. You ought to be here. You ought to be picking up on that and what the Word of God says. Verse 8 says, and at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath under the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Goodness, the goodness of God leads to repentance. We read that in the book of Romans. When you get right with God and you get revived the way you ought, man, there's joy. That's what we're reading about right here in verse 10. Thus Solomon finished, verse 11, finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now here's what he says. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, and those days came to Israel, or if I can command the locusts to devour the land, and they experience that, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He makes a promise to his people. He said, Solomon, I want all the people to know this. When difficulties come, some of it's self-inflicted, if you'll humble yourself, if my people, fast forward to the 21st century, that's Christians. There's nothing wrong with America that one generation of New Testament Christianity exalting Christ cannot fix. And Jesus is the fix. He is the hope. He is it. What's wrong with America, the Republicans can't fix. The Democrats can't fix. The president can't fix. The church house, they get it right, it can be fixed. It all comes back and is laid at our feet. Fundamental Baptist Church isn't everything it ought to be. The preachers aren't everything they ought to be. The ministry isn't everything it ought to be. Man, we need that refreshing breeze from heaven's shore. We need old-fashioned revival right here at Fundamental Baptist Church. But you know what's going to keep it from happening? First message, right here. I'm finally to the what I want to preach here this morning. I've wasted about 12 minutes with background, but that's not a waste. That kind of sets up the message and the following messages as well. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, and again, it's laid at our feet, don't point at anybody else. Hey, don't point at the church down the road either. It's right here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Humble. Some of the proudest people in America walk through church doors on Sunday morning, carry a King James Bible, know right and wrong, call themselves New Testament Christians, independent Baptists. We're so independent, we make the Lone Ranger look like he runs with a crowd. Man, we don't need anybody. We don't need anything. We don't even need God. It's gotten to that place. And churches are cold. And prayer meetings are empty. And altar, nobody's responding to the altar call. We need revival. Real revival. Barren of the power of God. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That describes so many Christians. That describes, you know right and wrong, man. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know what program to use. You know when to stand up. You know the proper place to say amen. You even know the page number of the hymns in the hymnal. Man, you got it together. You're a real Christian. No, that's not what it means, is it? Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel in chapter 4. Daniel in chapter 4. What has happened in so many places, we are in danger of having happen here right at Fundamental Baptist Church. If we're not careful, we'll become an uptown church. So what do you mean by that, preacher? I don't know exactly how it happens, but it happens. And it happens incrementally. And I'm 62, and that's old enough to have seen it happen in many churches. I've been here for 38 years, 39 years in this January. And you know, I've seen the lifeblood, I've seen the cycles of this church. We have times of harvest, and then we have times where it gets a little drier, and God kind of fortifies things and undergirds things, and then we have a great time of harvest again. And I see that in the lifeblood of Fundamental Baptist Church. But here's the big danger. The big danger is we get plastic. We become an uptown or a downtown church. One of the worst things that ever happened to the independent Baptist movement is we got fancy. We got the best of everything. We got to the place where it was second generation Christianity. And what parents allowed, their children took to excess. And I'm talking about worldliness now. And there's a real drift away from God. And I even see it here at Fundamental Baptist Church. Now we're hanging on, man. I mean, we got enough people on fire for God. It's still going on. But there's more. And we can't allow to be satisfied with anybody falling in the cracks, between the cracks. That's wrong-spirited. That is wrong. And if we're ever going to have revival, we have got to become a humble people. Go to Daniel in chapter 4. You likely are already there. Daniel in chapter 4, we read of King Nebuchadnezzar here. Babylon is... The empire is the entire ancient Near East. They've already besieged and sacked Jerusalem and brought the treasures back and brought the best of the people back to be their slaves and to educate them in Babylonian ways. And Babylon has prospered. Mighty kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar himself is a powerful man. Jeremiah, the prophet, referred to Nebuchadnezzar as the destroyer of nations. He thinks he's somebody. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 24. Just before this, verse 4, everything's thriving. In fact, the word flourishing is used. Nebuchadnezzar walks upon the wall or on the housetop of the palace or the wall of the city, and he looks around the great city Babylon, the eighth wonder of the world, and all of the riches and all of the glory and all the military strength. And he says, man, I'm somebody. Look what I've done. And he's troubled by a vision. And Daniel is able to interpret the vision. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, it's going to come to an end because you're not honoring Jehovah God. You're going to turn into a madman. And you're going to eat with the cattle in the field. The once mighty Nebuchadnezzar people are going to walk by and say, hey, you see that heap of a person out there by the sheep, by the cattle? That's old King Nebuchadnezzar. Frothing at the mouth. He doesn't even know where he is. He's eating grass like the cows eat. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't like what he hears. Verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. And all this time came King Nebuchadnezzar, and a year goes by. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I'm somebody. Just like a lot of New Testament Christians think. Man, look what I've done. I'm real important to the work of God. Look at all of my accomplishments. I'll bet other people envy me. As far as I can see, man, you get to that place in life, you are useless in the hands of God. There is no self-made man. You have not lifted yourself up by your own bootstraps. And if you cease to honor God in the middle of blessings, God is fully capable of kicking you, chopping you off at the knees, if I could say it that way, and humbling you. And because he loves you, he does just that. Verse 33, the same hour was this thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's cloths. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. This madman, finally God gets him to the place, humbles him so he understands there's one God in heaven. There is one God that is responsible for promotion. There is one God that blesses, and I worship and adore the Lord God of heaven. This is Nebuchadnezzar now. Nebuchadnezzar now says, now I want everybody to worship the God of Daniel. I want everybody to understand there is one God in heaven. Verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Humility. Could it be that what has happened to the church in the 21st century, and I'm talking all over Michigan, I'm not thinking of one ministry in particular, but I'm telling you, all over Michigan, there are churches that at one time were soul-winning stations. Man, they were red hot with evangelism. Preacher stood up and preached the word of God, and people loved it. Altar call was given, and people came. And the altar was wet with tears. Sinners getting saved, and people getting right with God. Souls being lifted up were seated in the heavenlies. It's missing. And I can't preach all of that 14th verse here this morning, but I can preach that first part. humility. I'll testify. Everything Tim Rader has and everything Tim Rader is that's right, it's because of God. Amen. It's not me. All that is taking place in this ministry, it's in spite of Pastor Rader. It's God. People listen to the wrong things and watch the wrong things and go the wrong places and wonder why the heavens have turned to steel and iron as far as their prayers are concerned. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, this church hasn't arrived. There's a world that needs to be reached. There are people that need to be born again. You have co-workers. I'm just shooting. I'm just shooting from the hip. I'm not pointing at anybody, right? But this could hit somebody. There are people you work with, you have never told them how to be saved. And you think you're right with God? No, sir. There are relatives that know you go to church, and that's all they know. They don't know anything about your Jesus because you have never communicated with them and told them how they too could be born again. You walked by people this week that were divine appointments that had never even entered your mind to tell them about Jesus because you were too busy with other things. If you were in that hospital bed that I was standing next to yesterday, where a man entered into the jaws of the valley of death, the jaws of death, and came out the other side, he has a whole new perspective. We have purpose. The church does. Our people. I realize it's kind of a somber message this morning. It's kind of out of character for Pastor Rader. But when you didn't laugh at that opening joke, man, I just thought, man, I'll let that go this morning. I'm just going to give it to him right from the hip. Here's the problem. Here's a little outline. A lot of people think they're better than most. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:2, 10:12, we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. When we do that, that's not wise. Many people think I'm as good as I need to be, and that's a mistake. Because again, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone onto his own way. And if you think you're like Jesus, you know what? You ought to look in the mirror a little bit closer. The mirror of God's word. Some people have the impression, have the idea that I'm all that matters. We live in that selfie generation, that selfie time of mankind's history where I just get all I can and can all I get. And you know, the devil had that same attitude. I will be like the Most High. I will receive the worship. You're traveling in pretty bad company when it's all about you. Amen. It's supposed to be all about Jesus. Some people have the idea I can sin and get away with it. And of course, that is not what the Word of God teaches. That's why there's no revival. Do you recognize, this is for me too, the sin in your own life? Does it bother you? The people that are going to hell around you? Does that trouble you? There's a great work that needs to be done.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.